Radio Africa, the show that inspires you to improve your health, educates you on health and nutrition issues. We offer practical tips on daily living so you can have better health. I am your host, Dr. Mary Mugambi, a doctor in nutritional sciences, talking to you from the city in the sun, Nairobi, Kenya. And welcome back to Health Talk Radio Africa. Thank you so much for your company. Listeners, on my way to the studio here, I rode in two buses, both crowded, all windows closed, none could be opened. So I sat on the seat next to the door in an attempt to get as much air as possible. Now, here in Kenya, we have a nasty habit of leaving the door open with one of the conductors standing by the door. Does that sound like you're part of the world? You're part of Africa? Listeners, do you regularly ride in a public bus or a minivan? How many times have you been in a crowded bus or a minivan where most of the windows are closed? How many times have you tried to open a window and it was stuck and would not open? Sadly, because of time, you had no choice but to ride in the crowded bus until you reached your destination. Because, well, the next bus or minivan would be crowded and would not be much better anyway. While riding in a crowded bus, you try to ignore the person who was sneezing or coughing, but could not. Riding in a crowded bus or minivan is part of the daily life of many people, myself included. Yes, even today. Listeners, I have brought home various pests. Yes, pests through direct contact with other people's clothing and artifacts. I tell you, I've brought home bed bugs, I've brought home lice, I've brought home some really funny skin diseases, and even our good friend, the flu virus. Early last week, while I was inside a crowded bus, I opened a newspaper, and lo and behold, will you believe it? There was an article that reported that tuberculosis is on the increase across Africa. Later on, I looked at the statistics on the Global Tuberculosis Report for 2018, which is published by the World Health Organization. Sadly, this report painted a grim picture on our African continent. It was a sad day. Data for the year 2018 shows that out of 30 countries with the highest TB burden in the world, more than 10 countries are on the African continent. Yes, out of 30 countries with the highest TB burden, more than 10 of those countries are from our lovely continent of Africa. According to this World Health Organization Global Tuberculosis Report, countries in Southern Africa have the highest death rates of TB. The South has got the highest death rate. The highest percentage of children under 5 exposed to TB is also highest in the Southern African countries. However, the country with the highest incidence or the most people with tuberculosis for every 100,000 is found in Western Africa. The country with the most people with TB for every 100,000 is in a country in Western Africa. However, the countries with the highest TB treatment success are found in Southern Africa and Western Africa. But listeners, don't be fooled by the averages and the statistics. They're not that much different. Those averages are not different across the continent. In other words, as a continent, we really need to really fight the war on tuberculosis. Now, there's this perception that tuberculosis affects only poor or low-income people, and it cannot affect people from other social economic groups such as the middle class or the rich or the elite. Those are just lies. Listeners, our show today is on tuberculosis. We will explore the basics of TB or tuberculosis and how you can protect yourself. So what is tuberculosis and how is it spread? We hear so much about TB, but what is it really? Well, TB or tuberculosis is a highly infectious disease and is caused by a bacterium called Mycobacterium tuberculosis. This TB, Mycobacterium tuberculosis, is spread through droplets coughed up from the throat and lungs of people with active TB. Yes, it's coughed up by people with active TB. The droplets contain this infectious bacteria. Now, these droplets are so tiny, so tiny, invisible to the naked eye. They are less than a 10 micron in size. That's a special word for a size, but 10 microns is so small, you can't see it with your naked eye. And these tiny droplets are breathed in deep into the lungs, all the way down into the lungs. Now, people who live in crowded, cramped housing, poor ventilated buildings or living conditions increase their risk of being exposed to TB. Now, how do you know that you've been exposed and infected with a TB bacteria? After all, this is Africa. But how do you know you've been exposed and infected? A positive tuberculin skin test confirms that a person has been exposed to TB. This special test, a Mantoux injection, is given just below the skin. Really painless, small injection. If a person has been exposed to TB, like most Africans, the site of the injection will get swollen. Well, after 48 to 72 hours, the swelling on the injection site is measured and compared to a standard, you know, like a chart. Now, please note that a positive tuberculin test only confirms that you have been exposed to TB. It does not mean that you have tuberculosis, the disease. No, it just says that once you breathed in the tiny droplets with TB bacteria in it, that's all it says, and you have some immunity to it. Now, you are probably wondering, if all people exposed to TB who breathe in droplets containing TB bacteria develop active TB tuberculosis, the disease? The answer is no, not at all. People who are healthy, with a healthy immune system, can fight the TB bacteria and control the infection. Often the TB bacteria is isolated, and this is visible through an ordinary x-ray of the chest, the lungs. If you're a university student in Eastern Africa or a worker in the service or healthcare industry, that is the reason why many institutions require an x-ray to establish that you do not have active TB. I'm sure many countries around the world also do this. Ask for a chest X-ray. Now, once you've been exposed, TB can remain dormant for years in a healthy person, in fact, a whole lifetime. Only an estimated 10% of people who have been exposed to TB progress to TB, the disease, and have active tuberculosis. A person with dormant tuberculosis will develop active TB only when their immune system is low or compromised. For example, people with HIV infection can have their immune system compromised and as a result develop active TB. Please note that not all people with TB have HIV infection. Now, how do you know if you have active TB, the disease? The first signs and symptoms of TB include any of the following. Well, the first one is a persistent cough, the type of cough that does not seem to go away. And usually you have night sweats, or you're sweating at night and you're coughing up blood. Sometimes you're having difficulty breathing, you have fever, chest pain, and weight loss. Once at the clinic or at the hospital, the doctor will give you breathing salts that will make you cough up sputum or very thick mucus from deep inside the lungs and the throat. And this thick mucus is then examined under a microscope and is cultured in a laboratory to see if it contains the TB bacteria. And that's the only way the doctor will make a diagnosis that you have active TB, the disease. Now, what is the big deal about tuberculosis? What's so big about it? And what does it do to the body? And many thousands and thousands of dollars are spent on tuberculosis. Let's explore why. Once the TB bacteria is inside a person, it provides an immune response which damages human tissue. Can you believe that? The TB bacteria makes you an immune response which damages human tissue. The TB bacteria is very tough bacteria. It evades rapid destruction. Yes, it cannot be detected by the body because it has several qualities. It multiplies slowly once a day, so it's not easily detected. It is resistant to the white blood cells, which are called macrophages, which eat bacteria. The TB bacteria is resistant to many types of drugs, and it has a waxy coat, and it has compounds that lowers a person's immune response to it. That is to say, a person's immune system is slow to attack the TB bacteria. Isn't that a cunning bacteria? And did you know that TB not only affects the lungs, but the TB bacteria can actually infect any part of the body, including the nervous system, the abdomen? TB can get anywhere in your body, and I mean anywhere. So you can have TB of the spine, TB of the kidneys, TB of the bone and joint, lymph node TB, abdominal TB, you name it, many, many others. TB will get in any part of your body. Most TB cases sadly happen during the economically productive years of a person's life. That is between 19 years to 50 years old. That's when you are making most of your money in your lifetime. You are economically productive during those years. And if you get TB, that means that your earning capacity will be severely reduced. Wow, isn't that a big deal? Hey, if someone interfered with my pocket, I would really be angry. Now imagine if it's a disease. Whoa, I don't want that. Do you? Well, many people with active TB experience severe weight loss, vitamin and mineral deficiencies. When looking at a community affected by TB, the people or the incidence of TB increases among people who have low body weight. So it's a good thing to keep your weight up, listeners. And the next question you're wondering, how do you protect yourself and your loved ones from TB? There are many, many ways, but in this program, we'll just talk about four ways you can protect yourself. Everyday things, just everyday things. First thing, the first protection strategy is make sure that you have received the BCG vaccine. Yes, many people receive BCG vaccine when they are small infants. Yes, BCG vaccine is given to newborn babies or infants. Okay, this is Africa, I know. Many women give birth at home in the villages because the health centers are so far away. Yes, this is Africa, let's be real. And healthcare is expensive and out of reach of the many of Africans, the many of us, you and me. Let's be really realistic here. Healthcare is expensive. And by the time these women who have given birth to infants in their homes, they present them at the health center, it will be several weeks, if not months. And yes, in many parts of our continent, we run out of vaccine. However, listeners, if you're in the rural area or away from a healthcare institution, the sooner you can get your infant to a healthcare center for the BCG vaccination, the better. It will be for the child, your baby, and for you as an adult if you've not been vaccinated. Yes, Africa is experiencing a lot of migration. Yes, we are moving up and down with people crossing borders as refugees. It is not uncommon to come into contact with people who have not been vaccinated, not just with BCG vaccination, but with many other critical vaccinations. This is also happening in the urban areas, not just in the non-urban areas. Getting vaccinated with BCG protects you and your child against several forms of tuberculosis. So it is important to get the BCG vaccine because it produces immunity in a person or in a child after just 8 weeks. So it's really important to get it. But be warned, BCG is destroyed by heat. So once the baby or has been vaccinated, or you have been vaccinated but with BCG, keep the injection site covered away from the sunlight for a while so that BCG gets to work in the body. Now, also note that BCG will not protect a baby, a child, or an infant who has already been exposed to TB before they got the vaccination. It just won't protect them, but it will reduce the TB complications that can develop later on. So go ahead, whether you've been exposed or not, just go and get your vaccination. The second way to protect yourself is called milk pasteurization or boiling of milk. Wow, can you believe it? It is the 21st century and we are still talking about milk pasteurization. Yes, in the 21st century in Africa, we are talking about milk pasteurization. But listeners, you already know this. There's an increase of informal settlements across the African continent, which means more informal milk vendors are everywhere. Haven't you ever gone past a big field and you find one structure, whether it's a mud hut or made of corrugated iron? The next time you went, there were 10. Before you know it, a brand new slum has gone up. And with that comes more informal milk vendors. And they're everywhere, these informal milk vendors. Milk is being sold by these numerous milk vendors in every corner. And if you really ask the question, has the milk been boiled or pasteurized? And if you keep asking that question, you already know the answer, and they will give you the answer. The answer is no. Listeners, if you get your milk from a milk vendor, as soon as you get home, please, please boil the milk before you use it for anything at all. Boil the milk before you use it for anything else. All right? Certainly before you drink it. The third protection strategy is opening windows and getting air to circulate. Can you believe how simple that is? Opening windows and getting air to circulate. At the start of this program, we talked about riding in public buses and minivans with windows that don't open or cannot be open. Sometimes the only option you have is to go sit behind the driver or next to the driver in a minivan or right next to the door where there's air coming in. There is always an open window by the driver. I've never known why. If any windows can be open, just open the windows. Strive to sit by an open window. Carry a handkerchief to cover yourself when someone is coughing, and they're always there. Oh, Africa, how much we love you, but we have so much to learn. Overcrowding in residential buildings is such a problem in the urban areas. Listeners, any opportunity you get to open the window and let air circulate in the room, please do so. But safety first, safety first. Sadly, in many parts of our continent, especially in our own town of Nairobi here, developers have built buildings so close to each other, and there's little thought given about ventilation inside the building. Yeah, people who can open their windows and reach out to the neighboring building no longer make the news. Can you believe that? You're in one building, you open your window, you can reach out into the next building. On entering many buildings, one can immediately tell that there's poor air circulation or ventilation. Oh, forget feeling a breeze entering a room. That is long gone. Ooh, but sadly, TB thrives in these conditions. All one can recommend is just get out of the building and get clean air as much as possible. However, listeners, sadly, some interventions such as enforcing better building codes, the state governments in your countries will have to implement. Not you, not the individual, but just the government. I have visited people and relatives in the rural setting, not in the just in the urban areas, but let us be honest, Big windows do not feature in the African rural setting. Hi. Last month I was in a big crowded church which could seat more than 600 people. In this church, the windows were few and small. Ooh, the heat was just stifling, but the air quality was the worst. Inside the crowded church, the air was just terrible. I really tried to ignore the numerous people coughing in the crowd, and it was time to ask our rural folks to enlarge these small windows in buildings used by the community and also inside their homes. The bigger the window, the more air comes in, and it cleans out the horrible bacteria that is circulating. I am sure you have visited a relative in the rural area, and as soon as you entered their home, you knew that the windows had not been open for quite a while. We then get embarrassed to ask them to open the window. Whew! And then you add TB to this scenario, and you see why it is increasing in our continent, right across the board, in urban areas and in rural areas. There is no difference. Listeners, the next protection strategy, or the fourth protection strategy, is maintaining a healthy body weight and good nutritional status. Maintaining a healthy body weight and good nutritional status is really a way to fight TB. When you have a healthy body weight and good nutritional status, and in addition, you have been vaccinated, even if you're exposed to tuberculosis, you will be able to fight the TB infection more effectively than someone who is underweight or malnourished. You must try as much as possible to have a good, healthy body weight. Now, how do you treat TB? Yes, it is expensive for you and for the state to treat TB, but here, there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. As soon as you suspect that you or your loved one has TB, it's best to go to a healthcare center or hospital immediately. Once the diagnosis is made, to cure TB will require taking a combination of medications. First, you have to take and strictly adhere, stick to the regimen that you've been given. Taking TB medication is critical to getting cured. One cannot take medication, then stop, then start again, then stop, then start again. No, 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 no. It has to be day in, day out, day in, day out. Taking medication has to be continuous throughout the treatment period. And the treatment of TB is done in two phases, phase one and phase two. Phase one lasts 2 to 3 months, and the goal is to kill the active bacteria in the body. Yes, phase one is to kill all the active bacteria in the body, as well as the dormant one. This way, the person infected with TB does not cough up the active TB bacteria. Remember, when you cough, the bacteria is very active and gets into everybody's lungs, to be precise. In phase one, a combination of drugs is given, and they include, I'll just give you the names. They are called isoniazid, rivampicin, ethambutol, pyrazinamide. Now, isoniazid reduces the number of T bacteria coughed up by 90%. That's why it's so important to take medication. You get the TB bacteria reduced by 90%. In phase two of treatment, lasts between 4 to 6 months. Let's just say 6 months. And this is the phase that is called the continuation phase or the sterilizing phase. The goal is to get rid of all remaining viable TB bacteria left in the person. The combination of drugs for phase two is isoniazid and rifampicin. That is why a person trying to cure TB has to take all medication for both phase one and phase two. Phase one is to get rid of all the active TB bacteria. The second one is to get rid of all the remaining viable bacteria left in the person's body. Well, I'm sure you've read about drug-resistant TB or multi-drug-resistant TB in recent years. This is where now the doctors will have to go to second-line TB drugs to cure the patient or the tuberculosis. But we're not going to talk about the second-line drugs in our program here today. The question you're probably asking is, if you take tuberculosis medication, does one need to watch the diet, the food one is eating? The answer is yes, you need to watch what you're eating. A person with active TB has got such increased nutritional requirements. Their requirements just shoot through the roof. This person is usually malnourished and underweight. That's a typical TB patient. They're malnourished and they're underweight. The goal then is to try and to increase their body weight to get rid of the many nutritional deficiencies they have. So they will probably be given a high calorie, a high protein diet, and that is what is usually recommended. Lots of calories, lots of protein. Now, this is not always easy to do. And listeners, as we record this program, our region of Eastern Africa is in the midst of a debilitating drought. It's so easy to say eat a high calorie, high protein diet, but the food insecurity or food scarcity for many people is a harsh reality today as I speak to you right now. Even the middle class are feeling the effects of no food or very high food prices. It's terrible out there. But you know what? Nothing is permanent. Knowledge is power. So listeners, if you can just take one or two of the following suggestions, it will go a long way in helping the person suffering from TB. Just one or two of any of the following suggestions, and I'm going to give you quite a few of them. So the first suggestion is start eating small frequent meals. Eat more often during the day. In addition to the daily three meals, have several snacks spread out throughout the day. Frequent snacking is a great way to increase calories. Now, when you serve your food on a plate, add a tablespoon or even 2 tablespoons of liquid oil to all your plates of food, even porridge in the morning or sauces, gravies. Once they have been served on your plate, take a tablespoon or two of liquid oil or melted margarine. And that will really give the plate of food, or it will give you a boost of calories. Let's talk about those snacks again. The snacks can be really high calories, such as peanuts, groundnuts, any type of nuts that you can get your hands on. Fruits make an excellent snack and will get rid of the deficiencies that the TB person has. So the more fruit you can eat throughout the day, the better. Now, for every meal, add an extra protein. Yes, I know it is difficult, but let's talk about protein. Protein comes from things like eggs, meat, fish, chicken. Try to get an animal protein as much as possible. Usually we call this high quality protein. Add in an extra egg at every meal or add in milk powder will be a cost-effective way of adding protein, especially in this time of scarcity. Another way to add protein is to make a pot of boiled lentils, and with every meal, just put a serving spoon or 2 serving spoons of lentils on your plate. That extra serving spoon of lentils adds good quality protein. So if you're not able to afford any animal protein, lentils or mung beans or ndengu is a good way of getting extra protein. Now, people suffering from tuberculosis have low levels of micronutrients or deficiencies of vitamins, such as vitamin C, A, zinc, iron, selenium. A daily multivitamin and mineral capsule will really help get rid of these deficiencies, especially in phase one of treatment. Dear listeners, that's all I have for you today in this episode of tuberculosis. Remember, TB is passed through very tiny droplets in the air. You cannot see them. They are so small, they are not visible to the naked eye. And these tiny droplets with the bacteria, TB bacteria, are coughed up by someone who has active TB. You can fight TB by maintaining a healthy weight and good nutritional status. Remember to try to breathe in clean air as much as possible throughout the day. And open those windows, whether you are in a car, a bus, or a minivan, or even in your home. But remember, safety first. Listeners, we really do welcome your comments and your questions. You can contact me at healthtalkradioafrica@gmail.com. Listeners, please, I am making an appeal here. Share this link with just one person, only one. You will be surprised that you will save someone's life. Dear listeners, we need your help to keep this program going and keeping it on air. Help us bring this program to you to make more fun, educational, nutrition, and health programs. Please consider offering a donation or sponsoring the program. You can reach us at healthtalkradioafrica@gmail.com. Until next time, listeners, remember to eat healthy so you can live healthy. Bye for now. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning in at Health Talk Radio Africa. I hope you have enjoyed today's program and will join us for the next episode. If you have any questions or comments, contact me directly via email, which is healthtalkradioafrica@gmail.com. Remember, at Health Talk Radio Africa, we discuss health and nutrition issues that affect Africa. We offer practical solutions from the experts. Please subscribe to the program, and share with friends. This way the program can be more visible and help as many people as possible. I am your host, Dr. Mary Mugambi, wishing you a fantastic time.